Welcome to episode 375 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Christ's passionate love for the world is evident in his statements from the cross on that Good Friday afternoon almost 2,000 years ago. Let's examine each of them in turn. 1. Luke 23, verse 24. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus has been beaten, spat upon, and made to endure several sham trials through the night and into the morning. His robe was stripped from him. Flies are buzzing around the open wounds on his body. He's so weak he cannot even carry his own cross up the hill. Despite his suffering, despite his humiliation, he's thinking of others. He's praying for the very people who caused his suffering. He came to earth for the purpose of forgiving sinners, and he loved them and forgave them up until the end. Those who crucified Jesus were not aware of the full scope of what they were doing because they did not recognize him as the Messiah. While their ignorance of divine truth did not mean they deserved forgiveness, Christ's prayer in the midst of their mocking and in the midst of their cruelty is an expression of the limitless compassion of divine grace. 2. Luke 25, verse 43. Truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Two others were crucified with Jesus, one on his right and one on his left. One of the criminals mocked him. Some Messiah you are, save yourself, and while you're at it, save us. The other one interjected, don't you fear God? You're getting the same as him. We deserve this, but not him. He did nothing to deserve this. This man respected God. He knew his own sin. He knew Jesus. He called out to Jesus. He called out to Jesus as Lord. He believed Jesus was who Jesus said he was. He believed in the power of intercession. He believed the promise of everlasting life from Jesus. Jesus recognized the man's faith, and the Lord reassures this criminal of his salvation. 3. John 19, verses 26 to 27. Woman, behold your son. And later on, to John, and behold your mother. When Jesus saw his mother standing near the cross with the Apostle John, his dear friend, he committed his mother's care into John's hands, and from that hour, John took her onto his own house. As Jesus continued to suffer on the cross, his mind was still on others. The law required the firstborn son to take care of his parents, and Jesus obeyed the law until the end. Early in his ministry, Jesus emphasized his respect for the law. Matthew 5, verse 17, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. 4. Matthew 27, verse 46, tells us that about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Here, Jesus was expressing his feelings of abandonment as God placed the sins of the world on him. And because of that, God had to turn away from Jesus. As Jesus was feeling that weight of sin, he was experiencing a separation from God for the only time in all of eternity. This was also a fulfillment of the prophetic statement in Psalm 22, verse 1. Of the seven sayings, this is probably the most difficult for us to understand. The sinless Son of God, who had been from all eternity in an intimate relationship with his Father, is now spiritually separated from him. When the sins of the world were put upon Jesus, there was for the first time a separation between the Father and Son. The Bible records something happening between them that we can only understand through the eye of faith. 5. John 19, verse 28. I am thirsty. Jesus was here fulfilling the messianic prophecy from Psalm 69, verse 21. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. By saying he was thirsty, he prompted the Roman guards to give him vinegar, which was a customary act at a crucifixion, thereby fulfilling the prophecy. But Jesus was not just saying this to fulfill prophecy. He lived as a man and suffered as a man in order that he could identify with suffering humanity. From this statement, we observe that Jesus suffered the full physical effect of the crucifixion. 6. John 19, verse 30, it is finished. I'm not sure if you get it, but this statement from Jesus while on the cross was a cry of victory. But what exactly was finished? Jesus finished the job the Father gave him to do. First, Jesus had to finish the task the Father had sent him to earth to accomplish, namely to provide salvation for humankind. By living his entire life without sin, Jesus was able to become the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. The way of salvation had now been made complete. No more animal sacrifices were necessary, for they had only pointed to the ultimate sacrifice which Jesus had now offered. He was the supreme sacrifice which satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God. The debt of sin was paid. But Jesus also fulfilled prophecy. The second thing that was accomplished by Jesus on the cross was a fulfillment of prophecy. The predicted Messiah had come as God promised he would. Prophecies of the word of God, which are always accurate, had again come to pass. The Savior was promised. Now Christ the Savior had come and accomplished the promised salvation. Jesus also achieved victory over the devil. This was a third matter that was accomplished by his death on the cross. The scripture says that one of the purposes for Jesus' coming was to destroy the works of the devil. The death of Christ finished that task. The dominion over the earth that man through his sin had handed over to the devil was now won back. The authority of Satan had been vanquished. The victory had been won. When Christ comes back again, he will take hold of the victory that he won over the devil on Calvary's cross. But something else was finished. Jesus' suffering. You see, Jesus spent more than 33 years on the earth living among sinful men, suffering from the self-imposed limitations of that existence. He had now endured the final 6 hours of that suffering on a cross. This was now finished. He would no longer have to suffer the limits of space and time. It was finished. And 7, the final saying, Luke 23, verse 46, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Here, Jesus is willingly giving up his life into his Father's hands, indicating that he's about to die and that God had accepted his sacrifice. As indicated by Hebrews 9, verse 14, he offered up himself unblemished to God. Everything had been completed, and now it was time to surrender his spirit. Jesus had previously made the statement that he would willingly lay down his life for his sheep. John 10, verses 17 to 18. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus was a willing victim. He laid down his life purposefully for our salvation. Father, thank you for these 7 statements Jesus made from the cross, which have far-reaching significance for us today. They remind us of the supreme sacrifice that secured our salvation. May these words give us the utmost confidence in Jesus as our Savior, and may we choose to accept the gift of salvation wrought by his sacrifice. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.